B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Well, this is me, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this is me on a screen here, riding towards the camera. It was a great scene because she's trying so hard for me not to see the news. You can see here with the eye, you know, no matter what I do, the kissing, the hugging with her, I'm more interested in what's going on Mars. Here, this is my job. I'm a construction worker, and I'm totally amazed.
And I'm looking at the gun.
Yeah, so this is really this.
How did I do that? Here's the great fight scene with Sharon and me. Ow, that hurt. I continuously used him as a human shield, and then I threw him down the escalator. And now he just got the message that he should actually put a wet towel around his
head.
Which
is also like crazy.
Exactly, yeah. So that they cannot detect of where I am. I run around like an Indian. That's a funny scene. She's trying to steal the suitcase. Now they have problems following it. This scene is unbelievable because my frustration about this taxi cab does not understand where I want to go. Again, I got away. Now he realizes that there's a hologram of him. And now he's telling him that he has to take that bug out of his nose, which is this gross scene. Remember, everyone was grossed out. Me putting this thing up my nose. There was the bug that was inside my nose. And that's why they always could find me. Now here they are following, obviously, I put that little device that was in my nose, I put in the chocolate. Gave it to the rat, and the rat is now running around with that device. But they don't know. They think that I'm right there. They're on my track. This is a wonderful scene where I come up to Mars as an old lady, as a fat old lady. And I'm actually hiding underneath this thing, which is the amazing thing which we find out later on.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that now things are going wrong with the face.
I'm a fat old lady. Look at the fat old lady.
That might be one of my favorite sounds that we have in the archive, is Arnold Schwarzenegger when asked to do a DVD commentary, a behind-the-scenes look at what was happening in Total Recall. He just basically describes what's going on during the scene he's watching in Total Recall. Here I am, I'm dressed as an old lady. And look, they don't like me, but they're shaking their heads. And now I'm using the man as a human shield. Like, no kind of insight as to what was going on in the background. No kind of off-the-camera type thing. Just, I'm going to tell you what's happening in front of me, and that's pretty much it. And the thing is, it's not like he was, like, doing it begrudgingly, and that was kind of a passive-aggressive way to having to do that part of his contract. No, that's just what he thought people would be interested in. That's just Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, not understanding the entire concept of a DVD commentary at the time.
I'm a fat old lady, look, and now, look, there's a hologram. You don't know I'm underneath the fat old lady. And then they watch, soon I take off costume, and then I'm not fat old lady anymore. It's real good stuff. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. You can subscribe to watch us on Twitch at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Or go to twitch.tv and subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. I was reading yesterday there was going to be a Hans and Franz movie. The guy who does Triumph, the insult comic dog, Smigel, got paid to quit Saturday Night Live and write it. And it was Arnold Schwarzenegger was signed to be a co-producer on it. And then The Last Action Hero came out, and Schwarzenegger said, it's just impossible. I cannot play myself in a movie. It's not going to work. It's not happening. It's not going to go. And it was going to be a musical, the Hans and Franz musical, like The Curse of the Girly Man or something like that. Or
that has potential, man. I mean,
well, listen, Smigel's great.
Smigel's fantastic.
Yeah, it was called like Hans and Franz and the Curse of the Girly Man or something like that. Or like it was something, it was Hans and Franz and the something of the Girly Man. Like it was And it was, it was going to be a musical. And Schwarzenegger was going to play himself. But then the last action hero came out. Can you imagine? I guess Smigel has written like five or six. He's written more movies than anyone in the history of Saturday Night Live. And none of them have ever been made.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there been a Robert Smigel movie that we would know of? Like, because, I mean, there was a show that was very short-lived. It may have only had like six episodes, but it was excellent. It was the Jack and Triumph show. And it's Jack McBrayer, who used to be on the 30 Rock, I think.
Yeah.
And you've seen him in a bunch of different things. And it's him and Triumph, the insult comic dog. And it was on Comedy Central. And I think there were six episodes. And it killed. There's one where he was just obsessed with what's the name of it? Paul Sorvino. Remember the big fat, Don in Goodfellas? There was a whole episode where Triumph was just obsessed with his pants. Like he had seen him and he would just dream of his crotch. And just over and over, he would just obsess over Paul Sorvino's crotch. And somehow they were able to, you know, they have Paul Sorvino do this episode. And the whole thing was it wasn't even to have him, it was just to focus in on how weird his crotch was.
Yeah. Yeah, Smigel's great, and he wrote a bunch of these Saturday Night Live movies, and none of them got made. Because, obviously Adam McKay, who I finally saw a picture of, and I'm like, I remember that dude from Saturday Night Live. He got very big for his britches, and he was one of those writers that got, like, if you look back and you see, like, Conan O'Brien was on Saturday Night Live sometimes, even though he wasn't a performer, when he was just a writer, like, Adam McKay... Like, was in some Saturday Night Live skits, and you're like, oh, yeah, he was just a writer. So there's Adam McKay, there's Fred Wolf, who wrote a bunch of the, he wrote Dirty Work, and he wrote with Sandler a bunch of those Happy Madison movies. And then there's the head writer who's done a million.
Did you say Tim Hurley? Is that the one you just said?
Tim Hurley is another guy who's done stuff with Sandler, but he's done stuff with everyone.
Yeah, I watched Mr. Deeds the other day, and it said written by Tim Herlihy, and I know he was one of the head writers over there.
He's the guy who, at the end of Billy Madison, is doing the trivia contest.
Yes.
And, he wrote a bunch of that stuff, too. I think he's been with the show for years and years and years. I think he's been there since almost the beginning. And, Smigel never got one made.
That's crazy.
To what I've seen, he's never got one made. But
McKay was the best. I look at that era. Well, first of all, he had like the best muse. Like McKay and Will Ferrell were just made for each other. Half of those great Will Ferrell characters were written by Adam McKay, and the two of them went on to do, you know, Talladega Nights, one of my favorite movies of all time, Step Brothers.
They were going to make
together.
A Step Brothers 2. As well, and then it was all set to be made, and then it didn't get done.
To me, those are two of the funniest people on the planet. Between John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, when he wants to be funny, they kill, and that's why Step Brothers is so great. And there's a good oral history of it, of the making of that movie, and how even like people who weren't normally funny were extremely funny in that film. Like who's the brother who's kind of he's the dick. What's his name? He was on Parks and Recreation as well.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, yeah. Who was, before that movie, wasn't a comedic actor. He was like on some HBO film or TV show called like Tell Me You Love Me, and he came in and just killed the audition. So they basically made him a comedic actor.
He was
actor.
On Party Down before he did Step Brothers.
Well, once again, that was just according to the oral history. They said he wasn't known for any of that, so they
Party
brought
him Down
in.
Was a damn good show. That's
what available. Is Party Down? I don't know that.
You don't know it? Oh, no. It's got about a catering company. It stars Adam Scott. It's got the funny chick from Will and Grace, like the one that was actually funny, not the one with no boobs. It's got the chick from Role Models, the like disciplinarian from Role Models. It's got
Jane Lynch. Yeah,
it's got one of the guys from The State. It's streaming. It was on.
Yeah, it came after Step Brothers.
It was it like came after Step Brothers. Oh wow.
Yeah.
So Adam Scott had to slum it after Step Brothers. But if you ever see Party Down, fantastic show, very very good show. Very good.
A lot of talented people there.
Yeah, very good show. Oh, I thought it was before. I thought, why would you go do, if you've already been in Step Brothers, why would you degrade yourself by going into this party down show.
He's like the host of a game show now. I think it's like one of those summer ones called Don't. It's the Ryan Reynolds game show, which my kids were obsessed with. They loved it.
I watched
it's actually
that.
A pretty funny
yeah.
show.
Your kids. Yeah. You're the one who likes himself some Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I'm a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. There's no question.
You like that honk.
A honk appeal is off the charts.
A honk with a sense of humor.
I called his honk appeal back when he was in Blade 3. I said, this man's going to be a star. The dude is chiseled. He's likable. He's got that thing. And look at me. I'm calling the shots before it even happens.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. We got one tired bird over here, though. At the end of every week, young Johnny Wallach is just not in the game. He gets very tired, and he will not take a vacation. He's not taking a vacation anytime soon.
We talked about that before the show. It's amazing. Because I know you're going away, you know, tomorrow. I was just asking you when you were traveling. Because it's good to look forward to, you know, time off. And same thing. So I just turned to John. I'm like, when are you taking time off? He's like, nah, never.
But then,
never.
But
well,
then
it's going to be till the summer, yeah.
Okay, so the last time, though, John, would have essentially been around the holidays and Christmas and New Year's.
I can tell you when it was is because some suckers like me were stuck working while Johnny was feeling his balls and rubbing up against the wall, just his eyes glazed over thinking about driving down in December to his in-law's house in Philadelphia. So,
that's right.
Sure, Dan, I can take my vacation next week. I can take a week of vacation, but when he's going down to his in-laws in Philadelphia in December. Who's going to be laughing? He's going to be like the squirrel who stored the nuts.
Me. Well, and the best part about that, Rich, though, is then when I asked him about, you know, traditionally we are off around the 4th of July week, and that's a good week to take off. I said, John, when are you going away? And he said, probably not till the end of July. And then he named the location. Where are you going, John?
I'm going to Vermont.
End of July.
Nice resort on the Vermont New Hampshire border.
Yeah, Lake so Warren. He's getting away. I mean, don't tell John he hasn't lived his life to the fullest. He's gonna look back and because
meanwhile, at Christmas I was texting him pictures from Hawaii. You know, and getting
was he texting you pictures from suburban Philadelphia?
He was not.
He did not. He was not like, hey, I'm at a Wawa.
Hey, don't sleep on Wawas. Those are good places.
Not worth traveling, though.
No, that's
what
true.
What is a Wawa? Is it like a shake place or something?
It's a very, very, very good 7-Eleven.
Yes, that's true.
It's a 7-Eleven.
It's like a Cumberland Farms.
It's like a very, it has a deli that has like fantastic sandwiches.
Custom made subs and stuff like that.
And everyone that's from Philadelphia rightly would like a Wawa here.
Yes. But somehow it has not come north of New Jersey.
And it's not going to be like Wegmans, like where people went, you got to have Wegmans. And then you go to Wegmans, you're like, why? And then, Wawa has really, really good sandwiches.
Yes.
And so if you're in Philadelphia, everyone eats lunch at Wawa. That's where everyone's at. But John's going to be like the cat who ate the canary at the end of the year when we're all, at least me, like I don't jam a bunch of vacation in at the end of the year. And, I mean, John's going to be sitting
exactly
here just like,
what I do. Yep.
I got a 5.5-hour drive ahead of me to Philly. That's right.
Five.
That's
hours.
Right. So, John, I mean, after this vacation, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere until the end of July. So
where are you headed again next week?
I'm going to Hilton Head.
Okay.
Just in time for the Heritage Classic.
Yes.
That I was reading you all the top
chance
golfers.
Chance to go
playing.
See Stuart Sink and Jim Furyk.
I am going to be there with bells on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do a live diary of it.
And you're going fishing too, right?
My wife has a job now, and I don't know if I'm going to go fishing. I was going to go with her, and she's meetings during that day.
Oh.
And it was like $700, so maybe the best thing to do is not do it. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Oh, how about the Red Sox just continuing to rack up the wins? Best team in the American League right now.
They are indeed. We will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got Boston sports covered, coming and going. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Roger and Rich.
What happened last night?
What song is this?
Sign Language, I believe, by the Crystal Method. Watch the bass. Bring this thing into outer space. Ferrari. Ferrari.
Fred, get out of the bathroom, it's saying. That's what this means. We took a leak too early in the break. Too late in the break. This, when the piano starts, it's Fred, get in the room.
Sure.
There's a talking about sports that needs to be done pronto.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday you had two 7-inning games there back to back.
Has anyone checked on Rochie?
Yes, he's checked it on us.
Into right field.
What? Skabooby dooby? Is it?
Dahlbeck behind him. He scores.
Rochie handles left-handers exceptionally well, and there's a rocket. Pulls this one wickedly out of here. Gone in a heartbeat. Well, have yourself a day, Mr. Verdugo.
Oh, your heart, Peter Patterson. Get out of the building.
That is nasty. Every day is a zippity-doo-dah day for Dan Roach lately.
No, he's already checked in with us. He texted me in three words. Wawa is awesome.
Yep.
He loves the Wawa.
Well, he just wanted to know us to know he was listening.
Yeah.
That's very nice of him. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning. Well, of course he's up. He can't sleep after a day like yesterday.
Well, it's day games galore for Dan. Yeah, he's got to get up early and prepare himself because these 1 o'clock starts are nobody's is no joke.
Well, he is hot and buttered up because the Red Sox are now the hottest team in baseball, winners of 9 straight after yesterday's doubleheader wins 3-2 and 7-1 over the Twins.
Right.
Now the Twins.
I mean, I was enjoying stuffing my face and watching my team. But you say there's something you can throw on top of that?
Mm-hmm. That would be the Twins.
Oh, I love it.
Well, the Sox
I
are
love-
now the...
Really bad incest.
Okay. By the way, I am going to pull up that oral history of it because exactly what you said yesterday, like, this was probably written by someone who's just like, men are stupid.
Yeah, and yeah. I told you I guarantee you a flaming gay guy wrote it and was just like, what do stupid people love?
And the article, it says something along the lines of, you know, we just figure men are simple people. And it was like, they like, you know, beer, they like burgers, yeah. Rock and roll, they like Kid Rock,
yeah.
And they love the Twins.
The thing is that all these things are good, but when put out there in such a way to make me feel stupid for liking them, that I don't like. But one thing I can tell you is I honestly have never had a conversation with my friends or in my own, like, looking at porn or anything said, Twins.
Yeah, well,
only watching Happy Days when Fonzie would always end up with the Marirucci twins or something.
Well, the Sox, they are now the first team in MLB history to begin a season with a losing streak of 3 games and immediately follow it with a winning streak of 9 games.
I mean, that is you got to write that down. That's a record that will never be broken.
That was a tweet that was retweeted a million times.
There's one of the teams I've never heard of before that
the
was.
Cleveland Spiders.
Spiders.
1895. Yes.
Volume 1 of baseball needs to be rewatched.
Ken Burns' hair, very real. One of the reasons for that,
by the way.
He's
got the new Hemingway one out there.
He does. He's got a new haircut. It actually looks kind of okay. He should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, he's got the new Hemingway documentary. Good luck finding it. You watched all of it? Because I found
I haven't watched all of it. I'm on to the 6 episodes, right?
Where'd you find it?
On PBS.
You just put, like streaming on PBS?
No, on... I stream my... Cable.
You watched it live.
Yeah, I watched it on TV. I think it was Saturday night.
I could only.
A scintillating Saturday night of me watching episode 3 of Hemingway, 1941 to 1959.
Yeah, on Saturday, I was in bed by 9. So it's a
party time. But it was
because I could find the first one, and then I scrolled through everything that was on PBS for the week, and it's not on again. I can't find it.
I got to find out how. There's 6 episodes, I think.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
And I got one of them.
Oh, all right.
And the worst one, like about him growing up. Oh, no, big deal.
No, you need the drinking and the all that.
Yeah.
Plane crashes in Africa. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's like almost every autobiography. Just tear out the first third of the book and throw it away. And start there, like two-thirds in, and, or a third in, you're good. Nobody needs to know about your hopes and dreams when you were a child.
Yeah. I wish Springsteen had done that. I wouldn't quit after 10 pages.
Yeah, I didn't even bother with Springsteen's, because, you know, I read all of them. You have to have a really messed up childhood for that to be good.
Even then, messed up childhoods, for the most part, are just depressing. Get to the good stuff.
Evolution of a Cro-Mag by John Joseph, who's corny as hell, but that book, his childhood, is insanity. Like, it's well worth reading. Well worth reading. It's good.
Maybe the Rick James book I would read the first.
The Rick James book is, I don't think, very well remembered. I've read the Rick James book. Dude, I've read the Charlie Murphy book. I've read them all.
Eddie Murphy's brother, Charlie Murphy?
Yeah, any garbage biography out there I've read.
Well, the Sox, they are not garbage. They are playing very well, and one of the reasons for that, Alex Verdugo, a guy who went 5-for-8 with a home run and 3 RBIs on the day yesterday. On top of that, he played all 3 outfield positions and closed out the game with a ridiculous catch in game one.
Here's the 3-1 home. Breaking ball, that one swatted, line drive, and a diving play out there in left field. Sprawling stab, and the game is over, and the Red Sox have made it 8 in a row.
All right.
That was pretty damn impressive. That was actually justified the yelling by
Daniel Parker. It was a very good catch in a very important situation, but there is an emergency here. Dan, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I dated an identical twin for years, and I believe I am an expert in the subject matter.
Oh, well, first of all, ha!
I know.
just the guitar plays.
They have the same DNA, so they are attracted to the same features. They both liked me. I made the worst decision, and I chose one. Once you choose one, that's it. That's gross. You have sex with my sister.
Yeah.
Never. Oh, God. That's a gay mender. It's like a girl asking you to have sex with, like, your brother. It's no, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know. It's gross. I mean, even I who am open, I find very little things gross. Mm-hmm. That is disgusting. Yeah, the idea of the twins at the same time is gross.
I mean, I don't know if it's some subconscious thing where it's like, ooh, like, 2's better than 1, but no, you got to remember that they're sisters.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that the idea of 2 women is very appealing to me.
Turning off my brain, drowning out my morals with twins.
That's the thing, is 2 women is very appealing to me. I would like that very, very much. Now, two related women, like, people are like, it's a mother-daughter combo. And I'm like, no, I don't like that.
That sounds kind of awful.
Yeah, like, I guess the rarity of it is something that people are very proud of. But no, I don't care for that.
Well, John, this has been a weird ride. The Red Sox now distancing themselves as the best team in the American League. Their only better team in baseball record-wise is the one with Mookie Betts on it right now. Yeah. You looked at this lineup, John, at the beginning of the season, as many did, and went, eh. So is water going to find its level or after a few weeks?
No.
Are you going to realize that maybe things aren't as bad as you thought they'd be?
No. Water will never find
Fred
its level.
Fred thinks they're going to win 140 games.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah. No, you have to think there's going to be some aggression to the mean. I'm shocked that they've just won 9 straight games with this outfit.
No, it's great.
Shocked.
Well,
with the pitching staff they have, and you just looking at the roster that Chaim Bloom put together. And don't forget, he was pulling guys in off the street at the end of spring training.
When they were 0-3, I said the same thing, is that it's ridiculous to react. But the thing is, you win 9 in a row. They can't take those 9 wins away from you.
True.
This buys you a losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
It buys you. You can get through losing 4 or 5 in a row now. And so there's nothing but good. I mean, it's a good thing. Are they going to continue this winning streak? Absolutely not. Have they played, the creme de la creme?
Minnesota's a playoff team.
Minnesota's okay. But the American League is whatever. So maybe, I don't know. The American League's not that great.
But are you realizing they're not going to be as bad as you thought they'd be? Like, that's the difference between, are they going to keep it up? Because, of course, this pace, no one could keep this up.
I think there's a long way to go. I think that 9-3 is great, and Fred makes a point. You can afford now to lose 3-4 in a row, and you're still over 500, and you can find a way to get out of your tailspin. So they're better than I thought they would be, but the Major League Baseball season's 162 games for a reason. Usually the good teams kind of find a way to rise to the top and the mediocre teams sink back to being mediocre. It's great to see. I'm shocked they've started this well, but I'm not ready to put them in the 108-win category.
I will say this. The American League sucks. The American League is not good. And so the National League is fantastic. The American League is not very good. So who knows?
Well,
who knows?
The Sox are angling for 10 wins in a row this afternoon. Another afternoon game, 110, mm-hmm. as they try to finish off.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win.
And what else?
With the Twins. Love quarterbacks eating dirt, pom-poms and short skirts.
Where's the one that goes, I like flicks with Gina Lee? And it's got Gina Lee Nolan. Oh, yes.
Who's nice Gina Lee?
Baywatch. She's,
Baywatch.
Oh, Baywatch, Gina Lee Nolan.
How is she aged?
I don't know.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
She was part of that
super hot one.
That second wave of Baywatch women.
Because that super hot one got into crystal meth.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
No, it's not. That was just insane.
She was in basketball. What the hell is her name?
1, 2, 3, Ghouls.
Yasmin Bleeth. Oh, yeah. That's who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Yasmin Bleeth.
That's right.
Oh, you can turn me up, Dan.
Two, three, goblins!
Oh, goblins.
Turn into a goblin? I'm not sure.
No, I just was like when they went, we love you too. We love ghouls.
Two, three, goblins!
Wouldn't it be funny if there was like for Funyuns? I love eating pasta on my stomach, watching Lord of the Rings,
and passing
and goblins.
I love rolling 10-sided die. Orcs that learn to fly.
Wizards that never die. And ghouls. And ghouls.
I love playing D&D, sci-fi on the TV, passing out in my chips. And ghouls.
And ghouls.
Yeah.
That was a Friday night in eighth grade, man.
Listening to Rush, masturbate too much, and ghouls.
One, two, three,
goblins. Why can't I remember it's goblins?
It's goblins. By the way, speaking of like Gina Lee, don't do this. So like, you know, Cameo, I've ordered a couple of those as a joke and stuff like that. But every once in a while, there'll be somebody back in the day who you're like, oh, I'd like to see what they look like now. There's some people who like defy age and time and space, and it's amazing. The Ralph Macchio type person, people in the world, that they'll never age. And then there's people like Tawny Kitaen.
Oh, yeah.
And you go, oh, I should not have clicked on this.
It's all based on chemical dependence and also the just your plastic surgeon. I mean, if you look at what's her face? Christy Brinkley. I mean, she's just had like fantastic. Well, first of all, she had so much to start with. And second of all, just it's fantastic plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. She's just done, they've done everything right. It's just, yeah, like Tawny Kitaen, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray's gotten really bad plastic surgery. It's hard to look at some of these people. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
Oh, well, let's get to what a fellow athlete says. So a guy who I guess would be one of his contemporaries thinks about Julian Edelman's chances of getting into the Hall of Fame.
All right. It better be a big-time yes-a-roo, or there's going to be some Twitter unfriendly fire. All right.
One, two, three, goblins!
All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Twins, up all night watching hockey and Twins.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're up all night watching hockey. It is the Toucher and Rich radio program. Rich, people are speaking on Julian Edelman getting into the NFL Hall of Fame.
The discussion has been continuing, and, you know, it's only days after Julian Edelman released his video that he was retiring and, you know, ended his speech with two words. He said, Foxborough forever, and then immediately on the website, there was a T-shirt for sale that said Foxborough forever. As a matter of fact, if you go to the website, there's a picture of him on the field wearing a T-shirt that says Foxborough forever that you could actually buy. So it was kind of all part of the plan. It was like, if I'm going to do this, you know, big going away thing while I'm here, I might as well get some, you know, merch money out of this.
Yeah, Christmas came early, guys. If you look in the back, I got a big box of tees.
But it is, you know, but to be honest, it's kind of a funny thing I've heard back and forth. And most anything, it's how passionate people are getting about it one way or the other. And yesterday, LeSean McCoy, who we could say was, you know, one of his contemporaries, he was asked by Yahoo Sports whether or not Julian Edelman, he believed, was a Hall of Famer. And here's what LeSean McCoy said.
Julian Edelman has just retired after having a great career and basically buzzing whether or not he's a Hall of Famer.
But Hall of Famer?
Hall of Famer, because it's postseason.
Nah, come on, man. I mean, I think that, like, you have 16 weeks to showcase who you are, what you can do, you know, each year. You know, I think the playoffs matter, but there's a lot of guys that don't get a chance to play in the playoffs. I play with some of them guys. And I won't discredit anything from him, because I think he's a great player. He plays with a lot of heart, a lot of attitude, a lot of passion. So I don't want to knock on his braid, because he's, you know, retiring. He's a hell of a player. I don't know about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I just couldn't. I just got lost in the dance.
Got to put that bed in there. Get ready for something interesting. Here's a bed that keeps your interest. Don't doze off. It's way too quiet to pay attention.
Yeah,
there was a radio show I worked on where the entire show had a music bed behind it. The entire show had it, and it was not the David Lee Roth show where they had a live guitarist in the background, which, to be quite honest, why nobody did a documentary on, or just at least documented what that studio looked like when they had a live guitarist in studio. To me, that would have been one of the greatest things.
Yeah,
every time you tell a joke, it was like having a ding-ksh, except every time he'd say something that he thought was funny, it was like, you know, when the rubber meets the road, we're all crazy. And, you know, all of a sudden the guitar's like, and David Lee Roth, you could tell, was getting off on that. So, yeah, these music beds, it was just through the entire show that I used to be on.
Was that the Morning X?
Morning X, yep.
They played a bed the whole show?
Oh, yeah. They had a music bed. They had a stack of, like, 12 different CDs that had music beds in it, and they'd pop it in, and it was always on in the background.
No. No, that's not good.
No, it went the entire time. But LeSean McCoy, after he made that declaration that he did not think he likes Julian Edelman, said there's no way he should be in the Hall of Fame, did go on to say that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I looked it up. He's the 22nd all-time leading rusher.
He said, I put my numbers up there with any other running backs in my decade. I was the lead dog. I've got good numbers, touchdowns, yards per carry, all those things, and you add two Super Bowls with it. So he is already angling that he should be in Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman, statistically, his similar players are Chris Callaway, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Charlie Frazier, Joe Giravicius, Rod Sherman, Morris Owen, Sam McCullen, Mark Ingram, Donald Driver, and Justin Gage.
I'll be honest. This is one of those things where, I mean, it's the Hall of Fame. Everyone uses it as the Hall of Stats, the Hall of Numbers. I mean, you can't tell the story of football in that decade without Julian Edelman. I mean, you can't. I mean, it was Tom Brady with that team. It was Tom Brady. It was Rob Gronkowski, and then Julian Edelman. He was a major part. Had some of the biggest plays of that decade. I'm not like going down with torches and pitchforks, but if we're truly going to go back to what it truly should mean, like these Hall of Fames, then you put in the people that were that meant the most to the sport during that time, mm-hmm. and Julian Edelman's one of them.
Yeah, he's never going to make the Hall of Fame.
He probably won't.
Sniff it, not even be a finalist. He'll never, ever, ever sniff it.
Fred, save your Hall of Fame discussions until Matt Slater comes up. That's when we need to define
You know what? If a special team was going to make it in.
Slate's the guy.
I mean, if you just go by jersey sales, Matthew Slater should be in.
You say the dynasty. You only mentioned three guys. You got to mention Slater. I mean, how many Pro Bowls during the dynasty?
That's an excellent point. You got to get Slates in there. Well, I mean, listen, according to Matt Chatham, he's already in.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Never been a gunner like him.
I mean,
I'm not going to fault Chatham. Listen, these special teams guys got to stick up for each other.
Slater could have been the best receiver many, many years on the Patriots, but Belichick was like, no.
Yeah,
you are the gunner.
We drafted you in the fifth round to be the gunner.
That's right. You are the gunner on this team, my friend.
Well, so this is going to be interesting. Jadeveon Clowney got a one-year deal worth up to $10 million with the Cleveland Browns.
I wonder, what is the base pay? Because I saw $10 million and I said, why in the world would you do that? The guy had, I believe, no sacks last year. Why would you give Jadeveon Clowney $10 million? But I would imagine it's heavily, heavily, heavily incentive-based.
You know, I haven't seen the breakdown.
Because
upwards of $10 million.
Yeah, because they just signed him now. Free agency, as you know, as a Patriots fan, has been going on for a very long time. He sucks. You're basing him completely based on old potential. He's been hurt. He's been ineffective.
Which is why a lot of it has to be performance-based.
It's almost entirely got to be performance-based.
Well, the other part of it is, I mean, so many times Clowney was the guy who was supposed to be the guy. Now he's lining up opposite Myles Garrett. So you have to figure he'll succeed at least much better than he has previously.
Well, it's actually, for him, a great contract. So apparently he gets $8 million, and it's $2 million of incentives.
Wow.
So the base pay is $8 million they're throwing at Jadeveon Clowney.
And maybe they should get a quarterback. I mean,
Baker Mayfield wasn't bad.
No, he's great. Baker Mayfield's quarterback.
I like Baker Mayfield a lot, Rich. He's Andy Dalton. Is what he
Andy
is.
Andy Dalton was a great regular season quarterback.
No, he wasn't.
Are you kidding me?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Go look. For Cincinnati to win, and we've had this discussion a lot, for Cincinnati to win, they ran the football about 60% of the time.
There was a period of time where Andy Dalton was a very good quarterback in this league, but it was the regular season.
But they had an all-world offensive line. They had a great defense, and they couldn't win.
That's fair. But that's
and they
fair,
had really good receivers,
yeah,
and they couldn't
win. When Ocho Cinco and the guy you mentioned, Houshmandzadeh, who was really good for a while.
They had Gio Bernard, too,
running.
AJ Green. Of course, they had a very good offense, but his numbers were good.
No, he was good.
Good, if not very good.
No, he didn't suck. No, he didn't suck. But I mean, Baker Mayfield could certainly be Andy Dalton. No question.
That's and you know what? To be quite honest, if you got a guy and you invested in a guy like Baker Mayfield and you end up getting the production of Andy Dalton, that's not a bust. That's not awful. It's just that you hope that you have the pieces around it.
You took the number
further than you can and a better coach.
No, you took him with the number one overall pick. If at the end of his career you say he was Andy Dalton, that's a bad pick.
Well, Andy Dalton also, I mean, he didn't have the brightest people running that team for a while. So,
well, regardless, if I take a guy number one overall and you say his career comps are going to be Andy Dalton, I'm not happy with it.
Is Marvin Lewis a great head coach?
No.
A really good head coach? Marvin Lewis is great during the regular season.
Andy Dalton's best season was 33 touchdowns, 20 interceptions.
Yeah.
He wasn't great.
His career was like a 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions. It was okay. Not great.
No. Baker Mayfield could definitely be
yards. Look at yards he's had per year.
He wasn't terrible, but again,
over 4,000 twice.
But if I went, you know what? Trevor Lawrence is going to be Andy Dalton. Do you think Jacksonville's taking him? If they had a crystal ball and Trevor Lawrence was going to be Andy Dalton, they wouldn't take him. Absolutely not. No. By the way, there's an article in Sports Illustrated about Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if you guys read it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's getting crap for it, too.
Yeah. He just says like he doesn't really care about winning or anything. It's kind of weird.
It wasn't I care about winning. It was that I don't have anything to prove to myself.
No, but he says that win or lose, like, it doesn't really matter to him. He does say that.
Yeah, he's got like a goalie's mentality. Like, none of the outside noise is anything to me. I don't have anything to prove to myself. I just know to come in and work hard and do the best that I can.
Yeah. So that's going to infuriate Jacksonville that he said that, because that's not what coaches want. Coaches want hard-ons until they get them, and then you have Baker Mayfield. But and he's also got married, Trevor Lawrence, which is very upsetting. 21 years old. He's been with this girl since. What kind of fool would be with a girl he's been with since junior high?
What kind of idiot? Patrick Mahomes. You know, same thing.
No, but
certainly.
That's why I was talking about Rich, John. But, sorry, but it's late John, in the week. It's late in the week.
You said it into his dead ear. So
exactly. It's late in the week. You can't expect him to catch it. He's maybe the station should make you take a vacation. But the. But, yeah, so he says all this. But he got married. He got married at 21 years old, right before he signs his big contract. What a moron. That makes me question his family. That makes me question a lot of stuff. He got married at 21 before the contract. What an idiot. I mean, the things I'd have to tell my son. Oh, please, please, please. What in your life? What is empty? What do you need to fill? Why do you have to build this house at 21? Why can't you allow yourself freedom? What have we done wrong raising you? What about a family unit do you have to recreate? This is like Una O'Neill marrying Charlie Chaplin when she was 17 and he was 54. I mean, you're trying to build. Was it an alcoholic father? What's going on? Please, son, don't do this. I would beg and plead. Please, Trevor, don't do this. Whatever we did, whatever mistakes were made, we can fix them. Don't give this woman everything you ever make. Don't do it. Enjoy life. You only live once. But Trevor doesn't want that. He wants a stable home environment. You know?
I don't know if I'd hate that if I was a Jaguars fan. I'd be like, all right, mine's going to be not worrying about.
As a fan, I wouldn't care at all. But the thing is that with the attitude thing, people are always just going to compare it to Tom Brady, who always, because Trevor Lawrence goes, you know, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I think that's a negative way to live, which is absolutely true. When you're constantly thinking people are saying bad things about you and trying to respond to them, I mean, that's a terrible way to live. But in the NFL, it's an effective way to motivate yourself, we've been told. So, you know, if people compare him to Tom Brady, he's like the anti-Tom Brady.
Fred, it's one of those things that people on both sides can use as ammo. If he ends up sucking, they could say, well, look, we knew from the beginning that this guy didn't have a winning attitude.
Right.
And if he ends up being great, people could say, look at this guy. He's confident. He's cool. He doesn't care what anyone else thinks.
Yes.
So you can use it either way, whatever ammo works for you.
It's true. He seems like, from what he said, aside from the getting married thing, I mean, he seems to have a healthy attitude, a mature attitude on life.
Yeah.
I mean, all the things he says are right. There are things that he should be. You shouldn't want these things. You shouldn't live your life that way. He's absolutely right.
He's way too well-adjusted for someone in his position.
But, you know, Tom Brady's like the least well-adjusted person in the history of the world. And so you look at that. I mean, if you really look at Brady's modus operandi, it's horrible. It's a terrible way to live. And then you throw on top of that, he's got some weird guru that follows him around massaging his hands and giving him weird stuff to drink. I mean, it's all not a good way to live. Well, Fred, what do you know? How do you live? I'm not saying I live the perfect way, but if I told you your kid's 15, and I told you when he's 42, he's going to still be pissed off about something that happened when he was 22, and he's going to have a guru following him around, giving him all this advice and massaging his hands and traveling with him everywhere he goes, you'd probably be like, oh, all right, that's a bit of a red flag. So let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest. So, yes, Trevor Lawrence comes off as a very – and the author even says it. He says – or someone said it's the way you'd want your son to be. But is it the way you would want your quarterback to be? Which I thought was a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, what does it really matter? If he goes out and wins, Rich is right. If he goes out and loses, Rich is right. All right, we'll be right back. The Bankroll Boys will join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.